This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Yeah, we're inside 5 hours from tip. Virginia Tech and Florida will lead the way today. 7 ACC men's teams in action today and tomorrow. The ladies get cranked up Sunday and Monday. 8 ACC teams on the ladies' side. Number for the program is 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll take more of your phone calls. If you just tuned in, Wes is under the weather a little bit, so hopefully he'll be good to go. He's playing hurt all this week and just can't go today, so hopefully Wes will be rocking it on Monday. Even though my partner's not here, we continue to stream live on the ESPN app. And, of course, you've got us on SiriusXM Channel 371. More guests come your way. Appreciate Dallin Cuff, who joined us in hour number one. Mike Barber coming up. Kelly Granlick later this hour. All right, if you watched us last week during the ACC tournament, I have had a contention against BPI because I just don't think they do a great job picking winners. And I am the worst in America at picking games. And then we had this competition last week at the ACC tournament, Wes, myself, and BPI. And my partner didn't do too well picking games last week, but that was last week. And I think me and BPI ended up dead even. So how do we break the tie? Well, we roll in to postseason play. We had a game yesterday. The NC State Wolfpack knocked off Davidson. BPI picked Davidson. We jumped on NC State. So already BPI is playing from behind, just like we like it. So we have picks for all 7 ACC men's teams today and tomorrow. Even though my partner's not here, we do have his picks. So with that said, let the competition begin. BPI again, one game behind already as we go to postseason. And we're going to start off with an 8-9 tilt. It's Wisconsin and North Carolina. Here are the picks. My partner, Wes Durham, selects, drumroll please, North Carolina. Now keep in mind, BPI likes Wisconsin. All right? BPI likes Wisconsin. I'm going to agree with my partner, Wes Durham, on this. I like the Heels as well. So right away, we're going right after BPI, right from the get-go. I just think North Carolina's bigs are a nightmare for everybody, and I think North Carolina's playing good basketball. I trust the fact they're not going to turn it over 20-something times, and whether it be Caleb Love or Walton or somebody, RJ Davis making some shots, I think North Carolina will make enough threes to keep that interesting. And we're going to go against BPI right from the get-go and take North Carolina. All right, game number 2. Syracuse, San Diego State. BPI likes San Diego State. 56.7% chance to win. My partner, Wes Durham's pick is Cuse. Jim Boeheim, you know how it goes. That double-digit seed thing. We've seen Syracuse get hot. You'll hear the interview with Buddy Boeheim, which we had yesterday after the show. That'll be coming up next hour. Syracuse, I thought, played extremely well last week after sweeping North Carolina Clemson, beat up on NC State, pushed Virginia to the limits. They're playing their best basketball. This is a tough one for me. I hate to say this, but I'm going to agree with BPI. I'm going to pick San Diego State here, and I hope I'm 1,000,000,000% wrong. And I know the voice of victory back in Bristol, Josh Macri, is screaming at the high heavens on this. So we disagree on this one, but I'm going to jump on board with San Diego State. And again, I hope Wes wins this one. But that should be a really, really interesting game. 6 versus 11, you know how close all this stuff's going to be. All right, Virginia Tech in Florida. First tip-off of the day, coming up at 12:15 today. Lo and behold, BPI apparently does not like anybody in the ACC. They like the Gators to win this game at just under a 53% clip. My partner, Wes Durham, will pick first, even though he's not here, but his picks are, as I said, he likes the Hokies. Hokie, hokie, hokie high. You know what? I tend to agree. I think Virginia Tech got the raw deal on the seed. There is no way in the world that they are a 10 seed. I like their intensity. I like their coaching. I like their physicality. And I mentioned earlier, they've never faced an SEC team in the NCAA tournament. The Gators are coming in a little wounded. I know Virginia Tech, after the long pause, only played a couple games in the last month, but I like Virginia Tech as a 10 seed to knock off Florida. So we go against BPI in that deal. All right, next game, Georgia Tech and Loyola. Sister Jean is going to be there, as Dallin pointed out. But as we pointed out, Bobby Kremins is going to be there to counter all this stuff. Once again, BPI despises the Atlantic Coast Conference, picks Loyola Chicago at a 64% chance to win the ballgame. Georgia Tech, no Moses Wright. That is a problem, but for West Durham, it's not, because my partner is gone with the Jackets. Georgia Tech without Moses Wright, West Durham likes the Jackets. Now, Pastner's over here beside me, right? You see him right there, Josh Pastner mask. I don't want to do this. I thought this was going to be a tough game for Georgia Tech with Moses Wright. You take the ACC Player of the Year out of the mix. You know what? My heart says you go with the ACC, but my brain tells me, man, Georgia Tech without Moses Wright isn't as good. I'm going to go with BPI, unfortunately, and agree that Loyola Chicago will knock off Georgia Tech. I hope I'm wrong, but no Moses Wright. I mean, you're not just losing a player. You're losing the player, the ACC Player of the Year. All right, Rutgers and Clemson, my alma mater. Hard to believe, but BPI has actually picked an ACC team to win. BPI jumps on the Clemson Tigers, just under 53% chance to win this bad boy. It's another one of these games, 7-10. Listen, there's no difference between any of these teams. These two teams are so similar, it's scary. Expect a low-scoring game based on the numbers. They both play really, really good defense. BPI likes the Tigers. West Durham selects, drumroll, Clemson. Hey, I'm an alum. What do you think I'm going to do? You think in a million years I'd pick against my guys? No, never, never. So we're all jumping on the Clemson bandwagon. That makes me a little nervous, though, I will tell you. When we're all in agreement with BPI, I'm not sure about that. All right, next game, Florida State taking on UNC Greensboro. BPI has jumped all over the Noles here, 79.1% chance to win the ball game. We had Leonard Hamilton on the show yesterday. He's got an Achilles issue, but he's trying to get his team healthy. He's also exercising all those turnover demons that they had in the ACC tournament. All right, so you know BPI loves Florida State. What's West Durham like? Of course, Knowles. I totally agree. I've told you on Monday show, if you want to know, I'm telling you, Florida State I've got in the Final Four. I think Leonard Hamilton is so overdue to knock down that door. It's a long road. They're going to have to hold on to basketball better than they did in Greensboro, but you cannot deny the talent in Tallahassee. So we all like Florida State to take care of business against UNCG. All right, final game. We just kidding around with Dallin Cuff. I don't know. And since I've been doing this stuff for 100 years, I don't think I've ever seen or heard people talk about whether or not a 4 seed can upset the 13 seed. We know about Virginia's situation. It's crazy. Their itinerary today and tomorrow is ridiculous. BPI likes the Hoos, just under 86%. Bobcats have won 9 of 10. You know about Preston the guard, out of sight. West Durham likes Virginia. If I'm not mistaken, I think my partner has picked every single ACC team. That's a good company man at West Durham. 7 ACC teams, 7 ACC picks. I'm going to agree. I think Virginia still has the DNA. We don't know what they're going to look like tomorrow night, but it's still Tony Bennett. It's still Virginia. And you know what? No disrespect to the Ohio Bobcats. I'm sure they got a nice team, and they pushed the envelope and played some big-time teams really well. And I know Preston is a great player. But I just think Virginia will find a way to win the game one way or the other. So there you have it. All right, there you have our picks. It's us against the BPI. BPI already down 0-1 to us after its awful selection of Davidson. All right, we're going to take some calls here. 844-SAY-ACCN. I've got George in South Carolina next. George, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pac. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Great. Thank you.
Have you had your MRI yet?
The MRI, I was supposed to go last Saturday, and the machine broke, so they rescheduled me for tonight. So I've got to be over at the MRI center, whatever, imaging center, whatever that is, about 7:30 tonight. And apparently it takes about a half an hour. They're scheduled to put me under at 8. I'll be done at 8:30 in time to limp home and watch the rest of Hoops till about 1 o'clock in the morning. So the MRI is tonight.
Well, I hope it goes well. I had my knee replaced 10 days ago, and the recuperation is not a whole lot of fun. Back to the NC State Tar Heels.
Yes, sir.
I grew up in Florida, but I've also lived in North Carolina and South Carolina. And I don't think you've mentioned the fact that in North Carolina, they say Carolina, and you know who they mean. In South Carolina, same thing. They say Carolina, but they're not talking about the Tar Heels. They're talking about the Gamecocks. So I don't know which way you want to go on that, but to me, it's it's an objectionable statement for sure.
Well, you know, to me, there's 49 states in America that when you say Carolina, they're talking about a light shade of blue. There's one state when you say Carolina, you go, oh, yeah, those guys in Columbia. Listen, I got a bunch of South Carolina buddies, and growing up in North Carolina and going to school at Clemson, it took me a while to pick up on that because I'd hear Carolina and be like, well, you're talking about North Carolina, right? No, the Gamecocks. Oh, that Carolina. Again, no knock on South Carolina. It's a cool place. I got a bunch of buddies down there, but there's only one state in America that recognizes Carolina as the University of South Carolina. Well, there's only one state. Only one. Simple as that. I mean, it's to the point where if you wear a USC hat, you say USC, there's 49 states that understand that USC is Southern California. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sorry. It's what happens when you don't win anything. Right? I mean, your football hasn't won anything since, 1969 ACC championship. Your basketball was in the Final Four a couple years ago. The women's team's real good. Equestrian. I think their equestrian team's really good. But, you know, we know who Carolina is. It's the University of North Carolina.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
But right now we will bring on Mike Barber, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Mike, good morning. Happy March Madness. Boy, is there a lot to talk about in the Commonwealth. And, I mean, this Virginia itinerary and what they're going to try to pull off is a story all unto itself, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you think about the ideal scenario for getting ready for an NCAA tournament, and then you hold it up to a mirror and you flip it, and that's what Tony Bennett and the Cavaliers are dealing with. I mean, essentially no practice. They're hoping to practice this morning in Charlottesville for the first time since the ACC tournament. Then they're going to fly out here to Indy. They're going to maybe have a walkthrough if there's time. And then they're going to try to play Ohio in advance in the NCAA tournament. So it is a rough road and not the way you draw it up, as coaches like to say.
And do we have any idea of the player that's been affected and what that's going to be beginning tomorrow when you actually see him come out and do the warm-up drill and realize, oh, I can't believe so-and-so's not playing?
No, Pat, the only thing we know is it's not Sam Hauser because they made him available to the media. He's been kind of their representative. So good news for Sam Hauser and the Hauser family. I know Joey got knocked out last night with Michigan State, but they'll have Sam on the floor. Other than that, we don't know. I mean, could it be pretty much the starting lineup? It certainly could be. Could it be what Virginia calls their green machine, their scout team playing with Hauser? It could be that too, but we have no idea. And certainly, Pac, depending on who it is, could really affect the way they play.
I don't want to ask you to guess, but I mean, you almost start laughing, right? Because this could be who knows what you're going to see tomorrow night as the number four seed. Right.
And you think about personnel-wise, Kihei Clark, their point guard. If they were to lose him, I think that would be the greatest disruption. But Jay Huff, their senior forward, their rim protector, the way they're built, there's really no guy that you can look at and say, okay, take him out, you'll be fine. Reese Beekman, Trey Murphy, with their length on the wings, the way they play this pack, they're not that deep. And they need all of these guys. So I think you're going to get a Virginia team that is less than full strength. And I think that's a shame because You know, every team wants to put their best foot forward at this time of year. But I think you're going to get a Virginia team, and I think there's a victory in that.
Doesn't it seem, though, like they're the four seed and the underdog in this game? It feels that way.
It absolutely does, and it's all the mystery, right? It's all the intrigue. It's think about Wall Street. What is Wall Street like? Wall Street likes stability. What do gamblers, bettors, people who are filling out their brackets, they want to know what they can predict, and you can't predict Virginia right now. You don't know what they're going to get. I mean, honestly, we still don't know 100% that they're going to get here and that they're going to clear the two rounds of testing once they do. I mean, this is the last team that's cut down the nets to win a championship, and they're going to be the last team to get to Indianapolis to play this year. It's just a big mystery.
But it's almost, I know this sounds crazy, it's almost typical that we would have had at least one team have this bugaboo, right? Even when we started this season back in November and tried to think about what in the world the NCAA tournament could look like, you just had the sense that this wasn't going to be easy. You knew there could be some individuals, but we may have a situation where a team just can't move forward. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, Virginia, like you said, they've still got some hoops to jump through here before we get to the game.
They absolutely do. I think it's a miracle that we've got to this point, and it looks like if Virginia does it, 68 teams are going to get to Indianapolis. I think that's stunning in the upset of the tournament already. If we make it through without any walkovers, right, no teams popping positive while they're in Indy, that'll be another miracle. So, yeah, I think we expected this. I think we got a flavor for it when we saw North Carolina A&T in the MEAC. We saw Duke. We saw Kansas. Then we saw Virginia. I think we understand what could happen, and we're all keeping our fingers crossed that it doesn't.
One more thing about Virginia. You know, they had the incredible story being the first and only one seed to lose to a 16, which will go down forever and ever. Then they follow it up with one of the most remarkable runs to win a national championship with incredible plays and drama, and they cut down the nets. Then they're the defenders for 2 years because we lose the whole COVID situation last year. And now we get a situation where if Tony Bennett wins tomorrow, where they play and win, and you're going to look at it and go, you know, let me go down as one of his best wins ever. As crazy as that sounds.
It is, and it just seems like, you know what, I don't know if you guys watched the old show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland, and it just seemed like every season they tried to make the threat bigger and wackier. It feels like that's what Tony Bennett is getting hit with now. It's, yeah. Okay, you lived through this, you lived through that. You had the Syracuse game where you had the Final Four in your sights and you let it slip away. You had UMBC. What else can we throw at you? How about a global pandemic and you can't go to the NCAA tournament until the day before you play? The clock is ticking 24 style, I guess, on Tony Bennett and UVA. And now Jack Bauer always answered the challenge. We'll see what Tony Bennett can do.
That's a great analogy and spot on. All right, let me go the other side of the state. Hokie High. The boys are going to kick this thing off at 12:15. I was surprised they were a 10 seed. Really doesn't matter. You got to go play. But what an interesting matchup with Virginia Tech and Florida.
Yeah, and that's a diplomatic way to look at it. I think it does matter. I think it's nice to play a team that you're better than in the first round and get your legs under you, especially this year with all the wackiness of everybody being here in Indy. I look at this as I thought Virginia Tech was worthy of a 7 or an 8 seed. So this is a coin toss game to me, and it is an interesting matchup. I don't think it's a bad matchup for the Hokies, though. Florida isn't a huge front court. That's not the way they play. They don't play a big lineup, per se. They're more guard-oriented. You know, Virginia Tech has been great defensively, and they've been great defensively on the perimeter and with their help defense and with Keve Aluma as a rim protector. So matchup-wise, I don't hate this matchup for the Hokies. Talent-wise, it's rough, right? This is a very good first-round game, and like I said, I think a coin toss game.
I'll be honest with you, Mike. If I had my druthers, I'd rather be a 10 than a 9 or an 8.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously you say, hey, we'll win the first game. But I don't want to see anybody on that one line in game number 2. Not that the 2s are a picnic, but I'll tell you what. I think there's a big difference between this year's one line and this year's 2 line. And so if I'm Virginia Tech, I've heard a lot of fans. My wife's a Hokie. I'm like, hey, don't worry about that 10. It could be worse. You could have been an 8. Or a 9, because now all of a sudden, okay, great. It's not a whole lot of difference to me between a 7, 8, 9, and 10, but I don't want to see a 1 in that second game.
Yeah, I think you're right. if Virginia Tech advances through, right? If you beat Florida, then you say, okay, I'm glad it's Ohio State and not a one seed, because, you know, I think I saw Barack Obama's bracket, and it was 4 ones making the Final Four. And
right.
I don't criticize that. It's a year that the ones are really strong. It could be a very chalk year at the top. That being said, I think Ohio State is a tough matchup for the Hokies if they're able to get through. But, like the coaches say, it's one game at a time. I think this Florida game is going to be fascinating. Trey Mann against Wabisa Beatty is a great matchup. And we'll see. We'll see what the Hokies can do. Mike Young just won his first NCAA tournament game right before he left Wofford. And I think he's in position now maybe to win a second.
No Jalen Cohn. However, Radford is back in the mix. You'd love to have both. And you're always looking for scoring. But I think Radford does make a difference for this team.
Oh, he makes a huge difference. And he makes a huge difference on both ends of the floor. The nice thing with Radford this year, they're not asking him to be the number one rebounder, the number one defender, the number one scorer. And I think he's been even more effective because of that. He's a matchup nightmare. He's very versatile. He can guard a lot of different positions. And now he's not in a situation where they have to use him to counter another matchup. They kind of dictate the matchups to opposing teams. I think Tyrese Radford is going to be one of the big keys in this Florida game for sure, but certainly also if they play Ohio State.
By the way, we had Kenny Brooks on yesterday. Pretty cool for Virginia Tech to have both the men and the women's programs move on to March Madness for the first time in their history. That's quite of an accomplishment.
It's very cool. And Pat, you know this, but a year ago, Kenny had that team ready for the NCAA tournament. They were going to break that slump of not going, and they were so excited, and he had really built the program up, and then we all know what happened, and the tournament gets washed out. So to see them able to come back this year, I've known Kenny Brooks forever, back when he was coaching James Madison. It's a great accomplishment, and it's a great sign if you're a Tech fan overall for that athletic department.
One more thing. We've been having some fun giving the call last night of the NC State-Davidson game to start the NIT, and the announcer, Derek Jones, on the first 8 seconds of the game on a dunk, said, what a great start for the Tar Heels. And I kept thinking, the NC State fans, I don't know who should be more offended, NC State fans or North Carolina. We've been going back and forth with callers. But Mike, can you imagine the Commonwealth if that faux pas happened, that the Virginia Tech Wahoos upset Florida, or the Virginia Hokies took care of business and won their game against Ohio? The outrage in the Commonwealth, did that happen?
Well, we have a barometer for that, right, with Twitter, and we've seen a few graphics pop up, sometimes the wrong name, sometimes the wrong colors, and as you'd imagine, people here don't take it in stride. People back in Virginia, they don't take it in stride. They lose their minds. There's a lot of pride, yes, but there's also a lot of dislike for the other colors and the other nicknames.
No doubt about that. Well, listen, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the madness. There will be great storylines beginning at 12:15 today when Virginia Tech starts this thing for the ACC in March Madness. We always appreciate your time, man.
Well, thanks for having me, and I hope Wes gets well soon.
Hope so. You're right about that. Appreciate that.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Many thanks to Mike Barber, who just joined us, giving you a breakdown of Virginia Tech and Virginia. Of course, the Hokies get things started this afternoon at 12:15. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit, talk about the ladies, because they get cranked up Sunday and Monday. But before we bring on Kelly Gramlich, some cool news in the ACC yesterday, and that is that Stephanie Norman of Louisville was named the D1 Assistant Coach of the Year. So congratulations to Stephanie, taking care of business. And hopefully Jeff Walls has gotten his Ford F-150 out of the dealership, being fixed, and Louisville's ready to roll beginning this weekend. And with that said, we break down ACC women's basketball with our very own Kelly Gramlich, who joins us from Tigertown. Kelly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pac. I am doing wonderfully. We officially start the NCAA tournament today. Hoops for like 5 straight days, 6 straight days. I can't wait. I just can't wait.
It is a cool feeling. And again, you know, the men got started with the first four last night, yesterday afternoon into last night, and the games are great. We had 2 1-point games and the overtime game late night as UCLA knocked off Sparty. And you always kind of feel like they're the play-in games. And I always say that, and that's technically incorrect because the tournament really did start yesterday. But today's a great day, right? And this is when I think you really felt the loss of last year when you just know, beginning at noon, all day, into the wee hours, same thing Saturday, same thing Sunday, same thing Monday. The ladies getting cranked up Sunday and Monday too. If you're a junkie, it is awesome. And it's really the time I think the rest of America kind of jumps on board. The folks are like, yeah, you know, I kind of know what's going on, but I really haven't been paying attention. Everybody pays attention beginning today.
Exactly right. And I was noticing in these conference championships, both on the men's and women's side, the emotion we were seeing from these players. And I think when you don't have something for a year, inevitably you aren't as interested maybe in the next season. But I think this March Madness, both on the men's and women's side, because we have two great tournaments, I think America is going to, in some ways, Pac, re-fall in love, rekindle the flame with college basketball. And I can't wait to get started today. The two people most excited today, I'm going to put Sister Jean number one. And I'll put me right below Sister Jean because I think she's amazing. I always defer to Sister Jean. So Sister Jean one, and then me.
All right. And where are you going to put Bobby Crimmins? Because I've vowed that every time we say Sister Jean, we're going to bring in Crimmins to balance that out, because that's an 8-9 game with Georgia Tech and Loyola. And I know Sister Jean, you know, it's a local call to the man upstairs. And for Crimmins, that's how Georgia Tech's going to counter that. But we'll worry about all that stuff later. I want to get to the ladies. All right, the ACC, 8 teams in the field, more than everybody else. The selection committee, I thought, actually got it right as far as the 1 and the 2 seeds for NC State and Louisville. But it really was an indicator of how good and deep this league is.
No doubt about it. And it's interesting because we talk about this in football, too, where the AP poll doesn't really matter once the committee starts going with the playoff poll and you see some more respect for certain teams than others. I thought we saw that with the committee. You know, we only had 2 teams ranked in the AP poll all season long, for the most part, with Louisville and NC State, Syracuse in and out a little bit. But I thought by putting NC State on the 1 line, Louisville on the 2 line, and then the respect that Wake Forest got as a 9 was really impressive to me. So overall, I think the committee said, look, the ACC is better than maybe some of the voters believe that it is. And I completely agree with that. And if you look at the strength of schedule numbers, look, both NC State and Louisville are in the top 15 in strength of schedule. The only other teams that are in the top 15 of those 1 and 2 lines are South Carolina and Texas A&M. So to me, that's why NC State jumped up into the 1 line, because you look at not only the ACC schedule they've played, but look at who they played in the non-conference with South Carolina as well. So I was very glad to see NC State get a 1 seed.
I'm glad you said South Carolina, because if you said Carolina, we'd have gone, well, of course they play Carolina. Glad you mentioned that. By the way, as far as the 8 teams that got in, the feel-good story, though, has got to be Jen Hoover in Wake Forest. And what a cool, sensational story to tie in what Jen did as a player getting Wake Forest in the dance. And now she's the head coach and the Deacs. Congratulations, you punched your ticket. That is a really feel-good story.
I think it's the best story in the tournament on the women's side for sure. And Pac, I'm shocked you don't have your Deacon hat on right now. Got to put that thing on. But you know, I went to Clemson, of course. Want to see there? Oh, that was insane! My gosh!
I mean, you asked
the
speed. Oh, are you kidding me, Kelly? Was there any doubt?
The speed with which you grabbed that hat.
She's cake.
Wow, I'm blown away. See, I love it. I love it. I think Wake is the best story, perhaps in March this year, to not have made the tournament since 1988. Pac, that's a long time ago. Your girl wasn't born, okay? That's a long time ago. Coach Hoover playing for the Deacs that year. And Wake Forest has been a bottom dweller. Coach Hoover took them over. She slowly has built that program. She's one of the most well-respected coaches in the ACC. Ivana Raza, Packer and Durham favorite, Gina Conti, have been excellent. I think Jewel Spear has been an X factor for them. She's a freshman out of the great state of Texas. She has been excellent, as you see Spear right here knocking down a 3. So I think they can do some damage. This matchup with Oklahoma State is a tough one. Okie State has Natasha Mack, who is a presumptive top 10 pick, an absolute tenacious rebounder inside. So Wake is going to have to find a way to slow her down. But I think we can't talk about this story enough. It's just incredible what Wake has done making the NCAA tournament.
No doubt. You got a couple games that you're going to call this weekend. Florida State, Oregon State. We had Brooke on the show earlier this week. She goes, hey, we know all about this club. Give me the breakdown of the Noles this weekend.
Well, first of all, Brooke has just done such a great job at Florida State. She just came on our podcast with Eric McClain. She's excellent. And I'm so happy for her and for Florida State to be picked eighth. A lot of people counting them out. They lost their three leading scorers from last year, finished fourth. That's really impressive. The key for FSU against Oregon State. Oregon State, I was watching some film on them last night. This team, Pack, can shoot the basketball. They shoot over 40% from three as a team. Aaliyah Goodman, their point guard, their leader, shoots 50% from three. It's insane. So the key for Florida State in this game, guarding the three-point line, and then Taylor Jones inside is 6'4", 6'5", according to their notes, 6'10 wingspan. So you're going to have to find a way to either get her in foul trouble or pull up, shoot floaters over her, get around her. Don't let her size intimidate you. But I think if Florida State is able to guard the three-point line, they have a very good chance of coming out with a victory.
Florida State plays Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. You've also got Carolina. We know who that is. Taking on Alabama. We had Courtney on the show yesterday. She said, hey, my girls are ready to go. Everybody's just ready to get out and play.
Exactly. And look, Courtney's awesome, too. We have so many great coaches in this league. I saw Coach Q on with you guys yesterday. He's excellent. So many just awesome coaches representing the ACC. I think Courtney's been a great addition. You talk to her and you're like, yeah, she went to an Ivy League school. It computes there. But what I like about North Carolina is how well they're playing over the last month. They've gotten hot. And it seems that their freshmen, especially Deja Kelly, who, by the way, is from San Antonio, so she's playing in her hometown. The last 2.5 weeks, it seems like a switch has just flipped for her. And Coach Banghart talked about how she had to be patient. She's just a freshman. And remember, these freshmen have played about 10 less games than they normally would at this time of the year. So Deja Kelly has become a completely different player. Her confidence is off the charts. She's been running that show. And what's interesting about this matchup, Pack, Alabama plays kind of a junky 2-3 zone. They don't have a lot of depth. They play a zone. It's been very effective. But UNC loves to shoot the ball, and they love to get out and run. So can they push the ball in transition and not let Bama set up that zone? And can they shoot enough threes to maybe possibly make Bama think of coming out of that zone? I'm excited for the Tar Heels. I think that they have a very good shot of pulling this one out as well.
Carolina tips that thing off noon on Monday. Kelly with the call. All right, let's talk about the team on the number one line, NC State. They earned it. They're the ACC champs. Wes Moore has built a great program. They seem to have all the boxes checked, Kelly. Would it stun you if they did not make the Final Four?
Yeah, it really would. And I think this is a big tournament for NC State on so many levels. Look, this is a program that is trying to prove it belongs with the big boys, I should say, big girls. This is the NCAA tournament, but that just sounds weird. They prove that they are in the top group. And I think to do that, and Coach McGraw actually agrees with me on this. We were talking about it and debating it with Mon. She said, look, they've won two ACC tournaments. They're a one seed. They've proved it. And I'm saying, I think they need to make a Final Four to really cement themselves as one of the elite groups. Pack, we've seen this with Clemson on the football side, right? They were playing really well. They were winning games. They were winning Orange Bowls. But until they made the playoff, and then, of course, eventually won the national title, people did not take them that seriously. And I'm taking NC State seriously. I think everyone should. But I think when you make that Final Four, it's just a different level for your program. I know they made one in 98, but that's a long time ago. So that's a big thing for NC State in this one. I think they're going to make the Final Four. I think they're going to be able to beat Texas A&M. Those teams are very similar. NC State shoots the three ball better. And the way Kunane is playing, the way she emerged and asserted herself in the ACC championship game, that's what I'm going with, is Elisa Kunane. And Pack, call me a homer, call me what you want. I actually have NC State winning the whole thing.
There you go. I was going to ask you the same question about Louisville and Jeff Walls, who I'm assuming got his Ford F-150 out of the shop the other day when we did the interview with him. they're a two seed. You've got Dana Evans, who I love. Same question regarding Louisville in the big picture.
Yeah, so Louisville's in Stanford's region, and I was watching some Stanford last night. Oh, man. Stanford is so talented. They are. They have great size. Cam Brink inside is just an incredible shot blocker. They like to get out and run. And what I like about this matchup, if Louisville ends up facing Stanford, they are going to have to get through some good teams and possibly a matchup with Georgia, who is really good. But against Stanford, both teams like to run. So I think that style plays into Louisville's strengths. They are elite in transition. They've been good in the half court, but they're elite in transition. And look, I have been a Dana Evans stan since day one. She's the ACC Player of the Year for a reason. First team All-American. She struggled a little bit in the ACC tournament. I just don't see that happening in the NCAA tournament. I think Dana is going to realize this is her last shot. I think she's going to learn from a couple mistakes in the ACC tournament, and she's going to be ready to go. In Dana, I trust. So I have Louisville advancing to the Final Four, and I think that Stanford game, if they can get Cam Brink in foul trouble, if they can play their game getting up and down the floor, and Dana plays really well, I see Louisville punching their ticket.
All right. Well, listen, keep Eric McClain straight on that podcast and enjoy the hoops, all right?
I'm doing my best. You too, Pac. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
My partner's under the weather a little bit today. And so he's got his feet up, getting ready to watch a ton of hoops this weekend, like the rest of us. And yesterday, in case you missed it, our buddy Leonard Hamilton, running the show for the Florida State Seminoles, joined the program. And we asked him point blank, coming off that unusual performance against Georgia Tech with those 25 turnovers, how do you guys reset and get ready for a deep, deep run in March Madness?
We've had some really good games this year. No question about that. We play like we are capable at times. But we've had those moments where we have not played very well. And I think that, you know, you don't want to look in the rearview mirror. We got to look toward the future. But more than likely right now, what I'm telling our guys, we got to stay in the moment. Worry about that which we can control. We can control turnovers.
It's one of those growing points, though, isn't it, Coach, with a team? I mean, no matter how successful a program's been, there's always reminders you can get better, right?
But there's no doubt about that. And that's, you have those games where you just somehow or another you scratch your head and you be trying to figure out what in the world went on. Well, hopefully we've had our last one. Let's get on to this NCAA tournament. Let's see what we can do here. Represent the good old ACC.
All right. I want to ask you a question. I know you talked to your local media the other day, and I feel like I ought to ask, are you good? You said you were banged up or bumped up a little bit. Are you questionable, probable, doubtful? Is something going on with you? You okay?
Listen. If this is the only issue I'm going to have in life, man, I'm going to have a great life. You know what I mean? You know, I've never been injured, and I ruptured my Achilles. And but listen, I'm fine. You know, I can tell you some stories about Gastonia that'll make this ruptured Achilles look like Sunday school. So we can move on past that. Believe me.
You know, a man all in right. His late 30s shouldn't have Achilles issues, Leonard. I mean, when you're in your late 30s, you're too young for that nonsense.
No, what happened was I was chasing a referee after the game the other night in the parking lot, and something happened. But he's not in good shape either, okay? I just want you to know that. All right.
Are you excited to be here this year? In essence, because you missed last year, and I know how much you wanted to be at this event last year. Does that regenerate itself for you?
You know, people have asked me that. You know, I try to stay in the moment. You know, last year was a necessary stoppage that we had to deal with. And the season is over. We've learned. We've grown. It's time now that we focus on that which we can control. You know, this is an exciting time. In everybody's life, you know, you always want to compete and try to compete for a championship. These opportunities don't come along all the time. And we got to be focused. And we don't need no philosophical motivation. We don't need to worry about have a pity party from last year. Because, you know, this team needs to stay focused, rejuvenate themselves. And let's come in here and let's play at our very, very best. Because this is it. You lose, you go home. And anyone, every year, you're going to have Cinderella stories. You're going to have Upset City going on. You know, everyone's going to be looking for an angle. You got to be focused. Everybody's going to be at their best. And this is why it's the greatest sporting event in the history of all sports, the NCAA tournament.
Leonard, what did you see from your players after the Georgia Tech loss? I mean, there had to be some ownership and leadership taken over up and above what you and your staff told the kids. What did you see from your team after that game?
Well, what you have to understand, Mark, is this. If you're a basketball coach, you're more than likely not going to go undefeated. I know that might be a surprise to you, but you're not. And what you have to do is when you play well, you can't allow yourself to get too high. And sometimes that's hard to do because human nature sometimes will not let you do that. And then you can't allow yourself to get too low when things don't go well for you. You have to learn from that and move forward. And hopefully that's what we've done.
It is interesting, and I used this with Pac earlier. The last handful of teams from the ACC that have won national championships did not win the ACC tournament. Some got to the finals, some got knocked out in the semis, that kind of deal. In fact, you knocked out Virginia in the semis in Charlotte. They went on to win the national title in Minneapolis a couple of years ago. When you look at your team, the growing of this team, what encourages you the most about this event with your current ball club?
You know, this team has had to grow and mature because we have so many moving parts. I got new guys coming to the program that I really need to contribute. You know, so I'm hoping that the seriousness, the what appears to be the importance that they understand about us having to come together mentally and emotionally as well as we do physically, that we have to really, really be on point. We don't have that's what you call a Trent Forrest or Rodas or Terrence Mann, guys that were just natural in certain areas where they contribute with your team. So what we have to do as a collective group, we have to stay tighter together. And that's every team takes on a different personality. And I think that's one reason why at times we have been a little inconsistent. But I think we realize that now. And now I think we know what we have to do in order to be successful.
Speaking of being successful, it starts with a game against UNC Greensboro. What do you see from those guys?
Well, they play a similar game to us in a lot of ways. They pick up full court. They pressure you. They're deep. They play a lot of different players. They play very hard. They've been very successful. They're confident. And, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, they're here because they want to win this tournament, you know. And I've been in that position many, many times, you know. So we know we're going to get their best shot. But one thing about being in the NCAA tournament, if you don't come with your best, something bad can happen to you. And that's exactly the way we understand it.
Coach, it's also interesting. You look at the Spartans. They've got a guard in Isaiah Miller. I think that guy could play anywhere.
Well, he's athletic. He's quick. He scores a variety of ways. He creates not only for himself but for his teammates, and they feed off of him. There's no doubt about that. But every team here, you almost can say the same thing about. Every team is loaded with talent. Everyone has a superstar player. Else they wouldn't be here. Everybody's well coached. And they play hard. So you almost can say that across the board. There are no weak teams here. Everybody's here with one thing in mind. Let's go win this tournament. That's what makes it, once again, it's going to be so exciting. You can see the passion in their face. You can just see them when they're walking around. They look at you saying, hey, we're here, and we want to do some damage. And we have to have that same posture, and then we got to put it on steroids.
The great Leonard Hamilton. You know, Kelly Gramlich was just talking about Wes Moore validating getting to a Final Four from a program standpoint. We don't need to tell you how good Florida State's men's basketball program is. And it would be awesome to see Wes Moore make to a Final Four. It'd be really cool to see that guy make it to a Final Four because he's kind of earned it. The basketball gods looking down on Florida State. That's why I got the Noles in the Final Four. I just would love to see the story. He's been great for the league and great for Florida State.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.